Good morning. It is great to see everyone this morning. Truly appreciate you all being here today. I would invite you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 is where we will be this morning. And I will apologize now. I forgot birthdays last week, so I'll try not to do that today. Mostly because of the fact that Sarah has one tomorrow and I like to embarrass her. It's kind of fun. Make sure she loves hugs. She keeps saying it every year. But make sure that you wish her a happy birthday. Twyla Patton has a birthday on Thursday. Don't forget, Gary. Okay. Dana, this one's for you. Mark has one on Friday. Okay. So, Mark, happy birthday. You going out of town for him? Just kidding. Oh, just kidding, Dana. Somebody else thought that'd be the only way he'd have a happy birthday. Luke 11. We look and see that our worship last week, if you'll recall from John 4, we looked back up to verse 21 and we went down through verse number 25. But when you think about Jesus and the woman at the well and looking at the worship, the object of our worship is God. Jesus tells her, look, there's going to come a point in time, and the time is at hand, it's near, that on this mountain in Samaria, in Jerusalem, those are not going to be the only places of worship any longer. In fact, what we're going to see is there's going to be a universality of worship because the church went everywhere. You think back to Acts chapter 7 with the stoning of Stephen. In Acts chapter 8, Saul is wreaking havoc on the church. And in verse number 4, the church went everywhere preaching the word. In fact, Philip in verse 5 went down to Samaria preaching Christ. And so we see the word of God, Jesus Christ, is being preached and proclaimed. Same thing today, right? Same thing that we do. We proclaim Christ. We proclaim the Word of God. And we continue to proclaim it. And you think about that object of worship being God. And this morning already, we're going to look at prayer this morning. But a couple of times already, we have prayed to God. And you think about those prayers. Whether that's before Bible class. Whether that's before I get up to preach. Or whether that's as we surround the table and we thank God for the sacrifice of His Son. We thank God for the things that we have been blessed with and be able to give back those things that He has blessed us with. Throughout our worship service, we pray. But I want you to think about here for a moment you. And I want you to think about your prayer life. Here in Luke chapter 11, notice beginning in verse number 1. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now there are those who call this the Lord's Prayer. Others would call this the model prayer. I want you to notice in verse number 1. The reason for what Jesus says. The reason for what he says. Is because he has one of his disciples come to him and say, Lord, teach us to pray. What has he just observed? Here's a time. It came to pass. A certain place. Notice what happened. He prayed. Jesus prayed. You know, I think of men that I've known who have led some of the most beautiful prayers. I often wonder what it would be like here to be in his presence and to listen to him as he prays. And I think about places like John chapter 17, where in his prayer there, Jesus prays for himself, he prays for his disciples, and he prays for you and I. And how eloquent that prayer is. And how even on our behalf, we haven't even come close to being and stepping foot on this earth yet. Jesus is already praying for us, that we'd be faithful, that we'd be unified, that we'd be one. You think about Jesus in his prayer life and hear one of his disciples saying, "Will you teach us to pray?" You can go back to Matthew chapter 6 and you can see in the Sermon on the Mount the same thing, the same prayer. I like Luke 11 better. And the reason that I do is because here we see a disciple, one of his followers, asking him to pray. I love the Sermon on the Mount, as you well know. Maybe I shouldn't say I like it better. In this instance, in this lesson, I go with Luke 11 because I think about how often young men and even young ladies will go to their parents. "Did you teach me to pray?" Oftentimes, and I'll talk about me here because it's much easier. I can tell you about my shortcomings. There are times in the things that I do throughout the day that even with my family and my children especially, and even my wife, that maybe they don't see me have the prayer life that I need to have, and the prayer life that I should have. But I think about in our worship how many times we get into this routine. I want you to notice what Jesus is saying here. In Luke chapter 11, in verse 2, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." That reverence for God is the first thing that's brought out. What do we usually say here? "Our Father in heaven." When we pray, we revere him. When we think about why we're here, the object of our worship, shouldn't we hallow his name? You see, if I'm here because of me, then I have the wrong object in mind. I'm here for him, and I'm to revere him. And so therefore, in my prayer, I need to make sure that I show that proper respect and that proper reverence for him. Notice he continues, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Here's that prayer for God's will. How many times do we hear that prayer, especially when it comes to those who are sick, those who are in need? And we pray often that, "Father, your will be done." And rightly so. It is the Father's will that should be done. You know, you think about James, and he talks about the fact that you've said that you're going to go to such and such a city, and you're going to stay there for a year, and you're going to buy and sell and make a profit. And he says, "But you haven't even spoken to God. Instead, you ought to say, 'If the Lord wills,'" meaning that he's got to come first and foremost in all of those plans that we make. Well, if he's supposed to come first in the plans that we make in our life, shouldn't he come first in the things that we do right here? That the way that we worship in spirit and in truth, with him being that object, should we not pray that we do things according to his will? Now, people pull out that phrase, "Your kingdom come." Yeah, we are the kingdom. We're the church, and it has come. But his will is supposed to still be the same. His will is what we should desire to do at all times. And if I want his will to happen, don't you think that I need to ask for that? Brethren, we think about the people that we get to petition, and this is such an honor. And I hope we take our prayer life very, very in a very special way, in a very special manner, in a serious way, in a serious manner. Because we get to petition God on behalf of maybe ourselves, maybe our brethren, our families, maybe even those outside of the church. We get to petition God on their behalf. And we think about those that we pray for, we focus on God's will. Is that the focus that we have? Or do we get up here and start to have what we might call that canned prayer? And we become repetitive. I know a man that when I was a kid, he prayed almost the same prayer every single time. And so one day I talked to him about it. And he said, "You know why I pray that prayer, Corey? I pray that prayer because those are the things that weigh heaviest on my heart and in my mind. They're the things that I think of constantly. They are the ones that constantly take up my time, and I don't know any other way to pray to get those things across because those are the things that I always think about." We don't have it so much here, and perhaps maybe because I've matured a little bit and grown up. But I can remember as a kid, I could tell you the men in our congregation who prayed the longest prayers. And oftentimes I would think about the song leader. And did he check the duty roster to see who has the prayers? Because if he asks us to stand to sing that song and then we got to stand to pray, I'm going to stand for the next 5 minutes. Because that guy is not going to be quiet. He's going to pray forever. So if you have a stand for that song, that's fine. But you make sure you sit us down before that guy gets up to pray. Was I concentrating on what he was praying? No. I was blaming the song leader for making a stand before the long prayer. That guy's going to take all day. Men, you want to take all day, you take all day. We're petitioning God. And it's an incredible thing. I think about the fact that we have a bulletin with the duty roster on there from week to week so that we know what takes place and what happens. Let me ask you this question. How many of you, and you don't have to raise your hand, how many of you would be happy if I walked up here with no semblance of what I was going to talk about or do? But I think today we'll just do whatever my Bible flops open to. And I've put zero into it. You good with that? You shouldn't be. I need to be prepared. You know why those come out that way? Because the people here, the church, when we assemble as the body of Christ and we come together to worship God, we all need to be prepared and ready to go, including those that are going to be even serving on the table or saying prayers. And I think oftentimes we discount this as such a small part of our worship service. And I think it's one of the most impactful things. We think about the song leader and the songs that he's going to lead. And boy, I hope before the lesson he doesn't lead a slow one because the preacher is going to put me to sleep. We're not the object God is. We need to be prepared. Because we're going to lead the church, the body of Christ, in prayer and petition God. And so we do pay him that proper reverence. We focus on his will. Notice here, give us day by day, verse 3, our daily bread. What does that show? Well, it shows that I ask for my daily needs from God. Why? Because he is the provider. He's the one who takes care of me. He is the one who I need to be talking to for those things. Verse 4, forgive us our sins. I need to seek his forgiveness when I mess up. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9, we confess our trespasses. Why? Because he's faithful to forgive. We need to seek his forgiveness. And then notice this. I need to, for we also forgive everyone who's indebted to us or sins against us. We need to forgive in the same manner. Be ready to forgive in that same manner. We talked this morning in our Bible class, Psalm 103 and verse 12, that God casts our sin as far as the east is from the west. That's what we need to do for those who are indebted to us. We need to make sure that we seek that forgiveness of God and then that we give that forgiveness in the same way that we seek it. And then we need to understand there, the end of verse 4, do not lead us into temptation. We ask for guidance, for God to guide us and direct us. And you notice how he finishes? But deliver us from the evil one. We petition God for protection and to keep us safe. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 6. We think about Ephesians 6 beginning there in verse number 10 in looking at the armor of God, that we put on that full armor every day when we get up and we go out to do battle against Satan in the world. We take up the helmet of salvation, verse 17, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. But notice Ephesians 6 and verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. I'm not complete getting up, putting on that full armor of God until I've talked to the commander. I talk to him. It's his army that I'm a part of. It's not mine. It's his. And so I get up and talk to him, making sure that I'm right in my life with him so that I'm ready to go out and face those things that I'm going to face every day. And you know what the best part is? I get to do the same thing, pray that same prayer for every one of my brethren. You see, we think about these prayers. These are things that we can do right here in the assembly. That I can pray for my brethren, petition God on their behalf, that all of us are doing this right here. Making every supplication, everything that we need, we're making known. And we talk to God about it. You know, I tell you often, I'm an open book and I do my best to be. But there are things at times that I don't know that I want to worry you with, and so I just keep those things to myself. You know what? Shame on me. Shame on me. How are you going to petition God on my behalf if I keep those things to myself? You know, I can talk to you and should be able to talk to you about anything, knowing that because you're my brethren, what you're going to do is pray for me. Because that's what I know, is that you love me and you want the absolute best for me, and you're going to pray for me. We need to have that type of attitude, especially when it comes to our prayer life in the worship service. That we are there for one another. We pray for one another. We petition God. Yeah, we make the announcements. And I love it. I'm glad. We get to make those announcements. And we know those that we need to pray for. And here's the thing. I would encourage you to go home. And maybe you, like me at times, have, instead of having... Instead of having everybody's information right there at your fingertips, like me, you've taken that directory and you've put it into a drawer and you just, it's in that drawer. I know where it is. It's in that drawer. And I don't take it out of that drawer because I know it's in that drawer, and if I move it, then I might lose it. I think about the pages of your Bible and how those pages, you can tell how they get dingy and dirty when they get worked over from you working your Bible and reading your Bible and studying your Bible. You know, I think at times our directory should look the same way, because what I do every day is I turn those pages and I pray for my brethren. And I take the time to make sure that they're right with God, and that if there's something that God knows about that they need, then I need to petition Him. We do that in the worship service, do we not? We pray for our brethren. We petition God on behalf of our brethren. Some we know specific needs that they have. Randy just had knee replacement on Thursday. I can pray that that recovery goes well. And I can pray for Denise as she takes care of Randy. Those things are pretty easy to know, right? But perhaps there are other things that are going on in their life or in somebody else's life that I don't know about. You know, I can still petition God on their behalf that those things also get taken care of. Because maybe those things aren't as noticeable. Maybe they haven't been vocalized. And that may be just because of the fact that they don't know how to say it. And that's okay. But I can petition God on their behalf. And we ought to take the time to do that when we come together. That if there are things going on in the lives of our brethren, that we ask God for His will to be done in their life. And for those things that they need help with to be taken care of. You see, these are things that we can do when we come together. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17 tells us to pray without ceasing, right? Meaning that that should be a manner and a habit that I have. But I would ask you to turn to Acts chapter 4. We looked at this before. The apostles Peter and John, they have been beaten for teaching and preaching in the name of Jesus. They have been forbidden. Verse 13 says they marveled that these men had been with Jesus because they knew they were not educated men. They call them, command them in verse 18 not to speak in the name of Jesus. In verse 19, Peter and John answered, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So they further threatened them. Notice verse 23, being let go, they went to their own companions. This is the church. And reported all the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, "Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them." Do you see the reverence that they have, that they have hallowed his name? They continue, "Who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why do the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ." I've listened to men before, my grandfather in particular. One time I prayed a prayer and I quoted scripture in that prayer. And my grandfather afterwards said, "God knows his word, he doesn't need you to repeat it to him." What did the church just do? "Who by the mouth of your servant David," is David there? No, in fact, in Acts chapter 2, Peter has just said on that day of Pentecost that David's tomb is here and still with us. But they used that scripture to embolden themselves and build themselves up. You know, we talk about getting into the scripture, studying it every day so that we can be emboldened and built up. Huh? So if I quote scripture to God, am I quoting scripture at God like, "You need to be this way, God"? No. In fact, what I'm doing is telling him that because of the word that he has given to me, it has made me stronger because of what he has commanded me to do, because of the comfort that he offers through the scriptures. You know, nothing wrong with telling us what's in the Bible in a prayer when you petition God, because it builds us up and it makes us stronger. It emboldens us. Verse 27, he continues, "For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you appointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done." Huh, what was that talking about then? How about his will? What you determined, what your purpose was, what your will was going to be. We know your will may not have been the greatest thing. This was the greatest thing to ever happen, that Jesus went to the cross for us. But you think about all that they pray. And they continue to ask for God's will to be done. In verse 29, "Now look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." Do you see that they are desiring for not only God's will to be done, but think about what they're saying here. "Look on their threats and grant your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word." Huh. Do they want them just to go to hell? What are they looking for? They're looking for the word of God to change their hearts. Why? Because they want them to be right with God. Everybody that you come into contact with that may not like you, people that you work with, people that you know, you pray for their heart to be softened. God's will would be done in their life, that they would seek to do the will of God. We pray for opportunities to speak to people. I think oftentimes we look for opportunities to speak to strangers who we may never run into again. I can talk to that guy about Jesus because he may not remember me or know me. He doesn't want to talk to me about it. I don't want to do that with my friends, though, because that guy, it may cost us our friendship. No, we need to talk. We need to pray for one another to do these things, to be bold. Stretch out your hand to heal. signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Stretch out your hand to heal. Not just their physical ailments, but those spiritual ailments as well. Because we want them to be forgiven. We want them to be right with you. See, these are the things, brethren, that we should be praying about. Notice verse 31, when they had prayed, the place where they assembled together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God with boldness. That's the desired outcome. Huh? Lead us, then. Lead us. Guide us and protect us. Give us the boldness to speak. Lead us. Guide us. Protect us. You see, that's what they asked. The same thing that Jesus said in his model prayer here in the church are those things prayed. And we see that example in Acts 4. The same thing in the assembly gets to be prayed. You see, this is the examples that we follow. It's why we pray the things that we are to pray in the worship service when we assemble together. That God is the focus. He is to be hallowed, revered. His will is to be sought after at all times and in every aspect of our lives. And then we notice that we thank Him for all that He has done. We thank Him that we have the forgiveness of sins and we petition Him to forgive the sins of those who have sinned against us. We ask for that guidance and that protection to go live boldly for Him every single day. These are the things in worship that we should see. These are the things that we should take into account when we come together and we assemble together and we get to pray. You see, we get to petition God. How incredible is that? The object of our worship, we get to speak to Him. You have Jesus at His right hand, that mediator, that advocate that John talks about in 1 John 2 and verse 2. He is right there. He's died for the sins of the whole world and He can't wait to be that advocate. We can confess our sins and we can talk to Him. And we have somebody on our side to make sure that that is carried through. Paul, multiple times, you can look at these different places on your own, but you think about these multiple times. Romans chapter 1 and verse 8, Paul prays for the brethren in Rome. In Philippians chapter 1 verses 3 through 6, Paul prays for the brethren at Philippi. In Colossians 1, verses 3 and 4, Paul prays for the brethren at Colossae. Philemon is where I'd ask you to turn. I want you to notice that he would even pray for this single brother. In Philemon 1, beginning in verse 4, Paul writes to say, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. I listen to people, we have these cards, these contact cards, and people sit down to write cards, and I've listened to people, I do not know what to say. How about go here? When you're writing to a brother or sister in Christ, how about right here? Let them know how much you have been built up by their faith and their example and who they are. When we write, and we write condolence cards to those that have lost brethren, especially those that have lost a brother or sister in Christ, and we write and we talk about the example they set. I've sat down several times to write cards to the family of that man right there. I can't get it on paper. I wish I could tell you how much he meant to me and his example and all that he did. I can't get that on paper. But I think about these verses right here. And I think about those who have gone on before that are brethren. This is the example they set. This is what they've done. And I thank God because of that type of example. Those are the things we get to petition God about with our brethren. Those are the things that we get to have that kind of comfort in our lives, and we get to thank God for those who have been such an example and inspiration to us. And it is great to say those things here in the assembly because of how much they mean and the impact they have. Brethren, I wish I could. I have verse after verse after verse written down. I don't have time to go through all of them. I want you to think about why we're here when we come to worship and we get to pray to God. We get to petition Him. And we get to talk about how amazing and incredible He is. And those words we know don't do Him justice to describe all that He's done. But you know what does? I may not be able to tell Him, but I can show Him in the way that I live my life. And you know what? I may not be able to tell you, but I can show you in the way that I live my life. And I can petition God on your behalf. So I would encourage you when you go home today, get that directory out of that, off the shelf, out of the drawer. Set it where you know it. And then use it and open it. Pray for our brethren. Petition God. When we come together, we can petition God. And if you want to be one of those brothers that leads a 5-minute prayer, fantastic. Fantastic. It's great that you do. Look with me, if you would please, at 1 Timothy chapter 2. This is where we close. People say, why do you say brothers? Well, this is why. Because God has given us direction. He talks in 1 Timothy 2, beginning in verse 1, therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, kings, and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. We pray those prayers? Yeah, I've listened to those prayers be prayed right here. That the moral compass be brought up. We would seek God, that those in charge would seek God. And around the world, they would seek God to do what's right. This is a good, acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, verse 3. Continuing on in verse 4, who desires all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ. And not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. I desire, verse 8, therefore, that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting, in like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair, gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. Let a woman learn in silence with all submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over man, but to be in silence. For Adam was formed first, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. Nevertheless, she'll be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control. You know, the incredible part is we have people who ask, well, you guys don't let women participate in the worship service. How come you don't do that? And we stumble and fumble over words. There's no reason to stumble and fumble over words. Take them to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and read verses 8 through 15. Paul gives exactly the answer. This is why I say, men, you're going to get up here and pray? You want to lead a 5-minute prayer? Fantastic. Do it. Don't do it to be repetitive. Don't do it to be seen of yourself or who you are. Do it because you love the Lord. Do it because you love the brethren. And you're going to petition Him on their behalf. Now we seek God's will to be done in everything. We have those examples in places like Acts chapter 4 that we can turn to and we can look at. We can look at the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer there in Luke chapter 11. Beginning there in verse 1 down through verse 4, and we see the reason because somebody asked, Lord, teach us to pray. Here's how you pray. You petition God. You hallow His name. You revere Him. You put Him in His proper place and everything else then falls into place. His will is sought out in the lives of not only ourselves but our brethren as well. We thank Him for all that we have. We ask Him for forgiveness and we forgive in the same manner. We ask for guidance. We ask for protection. Church does all of those things. Take those into account, men, next time that you get up to pray. Next time you see your name down to lead a prayer on that duty roster, think about what you're going to say and what you're going to pray. And if you need to know, go to Luke chapter 11 and read verses 1 through 4. And look at what Jesus would tell us to do in our prayer to the Father, because you know it's exactly what he did. And we follow that same example. Why are you here this morning? You here for you? What you're going to get out of it? Or do we put God first as that object of our worship and the object of our prayer life and in everything that we do? You see, when we think about what we need to do when we come together to worship God, we get to petition him. We get to pray to him. And we get to lift up our brethren to him. And we get to worship and direct our worship to him, for him to be satisfied, for him to be pleased with what we do. We get to do that every time that we come together. This morning, I want you to think about you. What's your worship look like? Are you here this morning for you? Or are you here to make sure that you praise God? And we do so when we come together to pray. This morning, there are those that may be suffering. There are those that may need to make a change in their life. Well, we pray that you'd do that today. If you need to become a child of God, that you put your faith in him, submit to his will and his authority, confess the name of Jesus as the Son of God, be willing to be buried with him in baptism where your sins are washed away, and rise to walk in newness of life, knowing you have a family of people here to support you and help you. Or this morning, as a child of God, you think about your life and maybe your prayer life is lacking, maybe your worship is lacking, and maybe there are things in your life that we can help you with. If we can help you in any way, we'd ask you to come now as together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.